Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, and happy Sunday, February 7th, Super Bowl Sunday. Welcome to WSCIRO, Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And I'm Dr. Shirley Canis, your co-host and general manager. Wow, it's really like something. We're into the sixth week of 2010, and lots of things are happening. And today, the weather here in New England is something like 10 or 11 degrees, but we don't have the snow. We have snow from the other storms, but it seemed like it just missed us. We went unscathed, and praise the Lord. It's nice and sunny here as well, but very, very bone-chilling weather. And we got first wind of that when my husband and I went to New England Sinai Hospital to do some pastoral outreach. We provide communion for the patients who are Catholic and who would like to receive communion. And it's just a wonderful thing that God is doing with New England Sinai Hospital, which is primarily a Jewish hospital. You know, check this out, a Jewish hospital with, Protestants and Catholics sharing the same space and ministry available for everyone. You know, they have a chapel that's a combination of, the Catholic and predominantly Jewish, but they share, the chapel. There's a Catholic tabernacle when you walk into the door towards your right with that has the Eucharist, the consecrated host there. And there's also, a place where the Torah is, it's just awesome to see this in one place. It's like God is just doing some awesome things in our town. Our town is, I believe, a city of God. It's one of the city of gods that God is transforming in this hour of visitation. And, describe it, my husband Jeff and myself, we were, since we've gotten married, we'll be celebrating our seventh anniversary on Valentine's Day next Sunday, so that's awesome. But anyway, since we got married, moved to where my pastor has his church, is a healing priest, and he just authorized us to do our ministry outside of the church and in the community because it'd be better received, and he was right. One of the strong points of our ministry is that we are intercessors. We're not only just intercessors, we're prophetic intercessors. So we pray based on what the Lord shows us from heaven, and He gives us He's so faithful. He gives us visions and dreams and different things like that. It's because we ask, Jesus says, you receive not because you ask not, and we want to receive from Him. And so, I think when we first, a year into our marriage, when we first moved in here, the Lord began to show us the nature of the spiritual warfare in our town, and He made known what His heart was for our town called Stoughton, and we began to pray, and we began to see revival in our church. In the spirit first. It was birth in the spirit, and then it started happening. I mean, there's a prayer meeting every day. Prior to our marriage, but more so, there was an increase. The Worldwide Revival Church occupied the downtown area. We began to hear how people are opening up their houses for Bible study and prayer meeting and sharing the gospel and different things like that. And it's just like amazing as to how a town such as Stoughton has actually undergoing a transformation process, within like the last 10 years. So I believe, the Lord is not just doing it with Stoughton. I think He's doing this in His desire to do this throughout the land. Especially Haiti, and we have some good things to say about the outpouring of generosity we got in a plea for Haiti. My mother-in-law, Nanette, came back from Haiti. Nanette and my father-in-law, Fred, and sister-in-law, Linda, they came back from Haiti. About a week ago. And the first time we ever caught up, my mother-in-law was yesterday, so she began to fill us in about her experience there. And my husband will begin to tell you about it very shortly. And it will go into the subject of the show. I think it's going to be called Transformation. Transformation of your heart as an individual, transformation of a nation, transformation of towns and cities. God wants to do that. He wants to do that in this hour because he's into it. He's into restoration. He's into the ministry of restoration. And he wants to communicate this to the body of Christ all over the world. And of the process. Many people don't understand the process. They criticize the process. But God, he wants to make known his heart in this hour. And in the transformation, there's a restoration process, you know, that leads to transformation. There's a transition. Then in the transition from, you know, when there's a change, you want it to be positive in the Holy Ghost. And then he carries you through the restoration process until you have complete transformation of body, mind, will, spirit, and emotion in your soul. So, you know, it's just so exciting when you begin to see life like this. I really believe that the Lord gives us seasons, the seasons of winter, spring, summer, and fall as prophetic metaphors as to what he is doing in our soul and spirit. You oftentimes have heard throughout Scripture in the Old and New Testament how the prophets of old up until now talk about seasons, and they talk about it metaphorically, okay? They're not talking about it in chronological order. They're talking about it in Kairos time, supernatural time. In the supernatural, there are seasons just like there are in the weather. And it's just awesome when you begin to look at life from God's perspective. And that's what we can all pray, especially in this time of Lent that we're coming into, which is the church marks that at the beginning of Lent, February 12th. So, the 17th, I think. I think it's the 17th. I'm sorry. I have to correct myself. The 17th. But it's just awesome just what is part of the ministry, how transformation takes place and what it entails. It all begins from a reaction, either of the natural elements or something happened psychologically in someone's life or emotionally, or even spiritually. And, you know, when you come to that point of devastation, you almost can expect, all right, God is about ready to break through. He breaks out, the chaos, and then he breaks out of the chaos, and then he breaks forth and breaks through. Okay, so there's the breaking out of the chaos, breaking forth, and breaking through. Again, breaking out of the chaos, breaking forth, and breaking through, all right? And that's the fruits of transformation. But in that process is restoration. And there's certain phases, and we're going to talk about that. And actually, I'm actually in the process of writing a book about that because we have that school of ministry called Seek International Leadership School of Multimedia Ministry on the Ning Network. We have up to 27 students. Lord, just bless them and blast them. And they are studying under the Gill Ministry curriculum. And it's a free online school because we are developing eventually into a junior college. And so we're doing a test run of our curriculum. We already did it with our board of directors, and now we are doing it to the community at large, and it's at your own pace, but with the Holy Spirit. And of course, as the staff, we pray before we put instruction together or choose instruction. It's all based on the process of four phases of ministry development, and there is a booklet that I'm currently writing. And it will be a tool as to how people can, or students can track themselves to the school. So it is so exciting, and God is often, one of my books, one of the books that I would be writing is on restoration. That would be phase one. Phase one has several tracks to it. One of them is establishing a biblical identity. Another one is in the transformation. And there's a whole bunch of materials out there and implication that we would do in that through our the contact that we would have through your online chat rooms that are actually have audio and video. So we are just so excited as to how we are going to be interacting. We haven't gotten to that point yet, and I usually send out status updates on the NAME Network, and I broadcast messages, and everybody, all the students get it at the same time. It's just awesome how you can use social media to even have an online school. It's outrageous. It's awesome. But anyway, so the topic is of this show as we go on, because an hour and 5 minutes remaining is on transformation. Kind of gave you a little bit about that. I'd like to share with you in a dream as this broadcast go on about specifically what the Lord wants to do in our hearts and the hour in which we're in. And it's so exciting when he gives me these dreams, because it's from him, and I can't put anything from me into it, because lots of times it's so awesome and mind-boggling at the same time, because he's so metaphorical and symbolic in his language to the human heart, that I oftentimes have to ask him, what does this mean? What does this mean? You show me this, but in natural time it means something else, but in spiritual time it must mean, what does it mean? Okay, so it's just, when you start, when you walk with the Lord, when you have that personal relationship with Jesus, he speaks to us, but we have to know how he's speaking to us. We have to recognize the symbol, divine symbols from heaven, and how he uses it. And oftentimes he will talk to his people individually the way that he knows that they will understand. Each person understands the things of the Spirit differently, because they understand life differently. They come from a different perspective in life based on their upbringing, based on how they've been trained up in church, just based on their whole experience of life, whether it be spiritually, psychologically, mentally, and emotionally. So, when you understand who you are in him and you understand how he speaks to you and the significance that it has and how it relates to Scripture, it's really an awesome experience. And so I'm going to give the mic to my husband, and he's just going to give you an update as to, how the Lord's been using St. Boniface Haiti Foundation. I talked to my mom in great length, and we just want to say, keep the generosity going, keep the giving going, because Jeff's going to tell you just what's been happening, how God's been really, really moving, I believe, through our Facebook friends. And I just want to say hi to us, look at my Facebook friends and say, I love you, keep the generosity coming, keep the love flowing in this season of love and this month of love. And again, some of you are also my YouTube friends, and I want to say hi to you, my friends on YouTube as well. All right, here is my husband to tell you the awesome testimony as to how God is moving, and also, we also want your prayers, too, for the mission in Haiti. All right, here he is. All right, Jeff, here you
go. Hey, folks, how are you? It's been about 3 weeks since the 3 or 4 weeks since the 12th of January, and what any aid organization is going to need is not the supplies themselves, but the funding. It would be easier to carry the money down there, bring the money down there, and while they're shipping things in and helping the agencies and distribution points to serve the medical needs of all the volunteers that are down there in this medical crisis. And my involvement in Haiti has been for as long as the existence of this organization, because I've been a part of it in its early days, and the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, and that's one sure way to help in the situation, because all the people who were who had moved out of the Fond du Blanc region when Haiti, when the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation started in its operation in Haiti, were moving into the big city, and the big city was only built to accommodate a very few people. But as with any big city, when there's poverty, there's always that hope for success, and that created the population issue, which you heard about post-earthquake, where the population, the actual population viability of that area was for like just under a million people, and over 2.5 to 3 million people took up residence in that space. And we need your funding. We were just talking to my mother last night, and she said your cash funding and cash donations are really critical at this point, and it's easier for the agents, any of the agencies, to take the funds and buy what they need and bring it to Haiti than it is to have to organize active donations of people. But there are going to be needs on this side of things when families, people who have come from Haiti who are living here, who have family or friends, that they find out that the remnants of families that might be brought into the United States. We were told about one account of a woman whose family was here in Haiti, and another part of her family was in Haiti, and the other part of the family in Haiti, the children were visiting, and the other part of the family was killed in the earthquake. And so this woman has her own family of about 5 children. And
1:00 p.m.
About 5 children, and she ended up taking on 4 more children because they were here when the earthquake occurred. So these are her family members, so she had to take responsibility for them. And she was in need of things, and she contacted the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, and she had received some clothes donations for Haiti, but these children, you know, were supposed to go back to Haiti, but there's no Haiti for them to go back to, so they needed winter clothing, and my mother was able to direct them to things that were donated to her organization. And if anybody is willing to donate to the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, you can check them out on their own website at www.haitihealth.org, haitihealth.org. And for more information and up-to-date information about what's going on in Haiti, the hospital my mother runs has a director whose name is Connor Shapiro, and he's the director of the hospital down in Haiti. And he and his wife was in the city while he was out at the hospital when the earthquake happened. And of course, many other people from the hospital were panic stricken because they had relatives in the city, and they were trying to find out friends and family, you know, how many of their friends and family survived the earthquake. And please give generously. This is the emergency hub of the need, but there's going to be a need for long-term giving and long-term support. All those people, especially the little children who survived this, who become teenagers, are really going to need an outpouring of assistance, not assistance that will take them from Haiti, but assistance that will help them be healed of the trauma of this earthquake. And mental health workers, people with medical assistance skills, even phlebotomists, you name it, they can use it down there. And the world is pouring into that, and we need to keep pouring into it in the United States and Canada and some of the South American nations and Caribbean nations. You know, they're our neighbors, and we have to keep pouring out to the to our neighbors and expressions of love and concern, supporting people, the Haitians here, when they have an emotional turmoil because one of their family members has been killed by this earthquake. How do we support them? And we saw that when we went, saw that kind of support that people, the Haitian people in this country need. And we saw that in action through the New England Sinai Hospital, because we're chaplains. We saw a whole bunch of information on one of the tables in the chaplain in the chapel, and it was an outreach to the Haitian people and how they can get the employees of the Mount Sinai, Haitian employees, got assistance. And if any of those Haitian people hear this, go to your chaplaincy in your workplace, and you'll be directed to the proper people and information concerning the employee assistance programs. And I would suggest that any Haitian employee of any company would go and seek out their employee assistance program for aid in this matter. If you have had loved ones that are in Haiti that you still haven't been in contact with or whatever, but those are the things. There's things available here for you, the people here as well, to help you through this trial. And we love you. We're praying for all the people, not just the ones in Haiti, but the ones throughout the patients throughout the world as well, because this impacts on everybody, not just the Haitian community, but the entire human community in the United States and in the world. Here's Shirley.
Yes, and we had that information when we went to do our pastoral work this morning, but I think it's somewhere in our vehicle. So when we receive that in the description part of Blog Talk Radio here on WSCIRO, we will put that there or on the blog. So watch out for that information. For those of you who have friends that are Haitian, that are Haitian American, or ones that are stuck in this country because they have nothing to go back to, there are resources here. There are 1-800 numbers and also websites to go to that are specifically for those who want to also find out if their loved ones are still alive and what the state of affairs are from their particular neighborhood and things like that. Some of the other needs that my mother-in-law was saying that they are going to need, because there's over a million people that are homeless, and they are in makeshift tents. So what they would probably need are donations of tents. So if you know of any organizations that can transport those things down there, feel free to do that. Call American Red Cross. They need tents. They need, I think, those portable potties for the, proper elimination of waste products, bodily waste products. There is a need for, on the medical realm, there's many people, my mother-in-law explained to me why there were so many amputees that they're treating. They're actually treating the ones, people that have had surgery on the USS Comfort. So they get an influx of those patients, because they're going to be using their facility. They're already using the facility for recuperation, say the St. Boniface Hospital in Fontainebleau. They're going to need they're going to need a lot of orthopedic surgeon with the right equipment, to properly do amputations if they need to. Sometimes they have to free them from the rubble, and the only way to do that is to amputate their leg. There are times where the rebels crushed limbs, and she was telling me that a good reason for the amputation is that when gangrene sets in between 24 to 48 hours, and what it happens is that when it reaches the kidneys, it shuts down the whole body, and death happens very fast. So they want to get to that limb that has, that's beginning to form the gangrene, and cut it off before it affects the whole person, before they lose their life. And so that is why we would need, they would need an influx of orthopedic surgeons down there, and also nurse practitioners who can be like general practitioners, given health care, ongoing health care, you know, in between surgeries or on the way to recovery, regular RNs. They need teams of people that consist of RNs, medical assistants, phlebotomists, surgeons of the orthopedic kind. Probably, you know, maybe many women are in the process of pregnancy, so I would gather they would need people who have a license in obstetrics, and whether you're a midwife or whether you are an obstetrician gynecologist, and also mental health workers, because trauma is strange. When you go through it, there's a shock and awe, and especially of this magnitude, and then there's the ongoing grief of loss. So people that, you know, have a social work background, or who, then they need to be licensed, I would think, and, you know, and good, and also have a good reputation. And they know Creole. Or you assemble a team with a MSW person, or an MED, or somebody that is a nurse practitioner who has mental health as their mental health, working with children or adults, a background in that, the naturopathic for, you know, remedies for people who, you know, who understand how you can use your natural environment and the plants thereof, you know, to aid in the healing process. Also, you know, surgery, somebody who does surgery in emergency situations, and nurses that can accommodate them, in the medical assistants, physician's assistants, many people in medical schools, you know, that are in, you know, doing residency, can also be part of the team, and you might have one or two people that can interpret English into Haitian Creole, okay? And so, you know, if you get a team together like that, and also for those who are chaplains, you know, you want to be able to administer the sacraments, and many of these people are Catholic. So if if somebody can, handpick and put together a team, network a team together, and have them go down periodically, like in my mother-in-law's mission, she's been doing this all along, you know, and that's how they've actually established their hospital. And so, you know, there has to be some kind of order to this, and training, ongoing training, and then sending down. But, you know, we're always rotating the shift. And then there was a concern about, you know, well, the cruise ships that go to the north part of the island, you know, they're into, shielding everyone from the reality of Haiti. But what about cruise ships, you know? And, you know, I'm sure you can get reimbursed if you use your cruise ship to house 1,000 Haitian people at one time and provide them with food and water on the ship, especially those who need a place to, you know, for restoration and rest after surgery. We're praying right now for, you know, the Lord to open up the hearts of these people who have the money and who are already down there, and, you know, who can change their plans for to help out, you know, a nation, you know, people that are suffering and things like that. I think that, you know, when you have the different aspects of of helping from the different segments of society that are affluent on many levels, I think that a systematic approach to providing for basic needs is, very beneficial in this area, and not just beneficial to the ones that are receiving the aid and the help, but also for those who need to, have their hearts softened, softened with compassion to so they can know what it's like to be human and feel human. It is a give and take. It's not just a given or just a take. It's when one receives, they feel more human. One of the things that my mother-in-law was saying, she gave me an example of when because they also build houses. They're not just, hospital people, but they go out to the community. They send out their workers to the community to find out what the social needs are, what the ongoing social needs of those who come to the hospital are. And some person, they have been on their waiting list, like, for years. They have a long waiting list of people that need houses. They need not just houses, they already live in one, but adequate housing. Housing that stands up through all the storms and can house, the people, the members of the family the right way without them stepping on each other. And so one lady, she was telling me, was on this waiting list for a while. I don't know if it was years, but for a while. And she had been, down and out, like the street people you see in this country, in Haiti. And then they finally got to her, and they built her this wonderful house, and she just didn't, she was just so touched. And it really, her family was blessed. She was so touched that she started going to church, receiving communion on a regular basis, giving glory to God, and it just changed her whole life. First thing that she said, when she was asked to give, a comment on the house, and it was done out of a heart of gratitude. She was like, "For once, I feel like a human being." Could you imagine that? People without a house or a home to call their own, they don't feel like human beings. They feel like an animal. And what does that say to our society and members of society who have so much but don't want to share the wealth or don't want to help others get to a place of just home ownership or adequate health care? What does it say to a society that supposedly, excels in technology and supposedly have evolved to, supposedly a better human state of life than, what existed 40, 50 years ago? What does that say if we continually let these people starve or perish because, they don't have, all the necessities that we take for granted, like water, food, water, clothing, and shelter? What does it say about a society that, I oppose these things on one level, but let a certain segment of the population go by the wayside or perish. It doesn't say much, okay? It's still, the elite lording over the, ones who have not, people need to be, some people need to be shown the way, all right? They need to be mentored into a better way of living, a better state of life. That's true leadership. That's true leadership in my book, okay? That's truly living in common. It's not to give, things away and be careless about it, but, it's to teach people how to live better, to live more responsibly and to teach them how to survive. And sometimes you have to assist them to get to that point of teaching. And so we want, in our school of ministry, we want to teach potential leaders to get to that place of compassion, to get to that place of sensitivity, not in a haphazard way, but in a way that, brings greater accountability and responsibility and restoration to our brothers and sisters who are in need of that. But we have to look at how he restores our life, each individual's life, and move out of that so that we understand the restoration process as it relates to transformation on every level. And so, that's why it's so important, that we, as a body of Christ, we as a nation, continue to respond to the building up of Haiti, because if we don't build up, we don't exercise the love of Christ in the building up of Haiti, all right, the enemy's going to continually step in there. He goes where there's a void. He goes where he can get a foothold, okay? So you know, remember that. Remember, we need to be lights. We need to be lights to, you know, a world of darkness, and especially into the areas where, you know, there was once darkness. And I really believe Haiti is coming to that place where God is going to pour out his glory, because this is the hour of transformation. I just wanted to share this dream that I had, you know, like last week. And it was, you know, sometimes most of the time it seems like I'll just, when it's fresh, I'll just come right on, either, you know, doing a faith talk by prayer through blog, TV, or just through YouTube, and just give the message and give the teaching as it's coming from heaven. But for some reason, the Lord just had me, like, just sit this one out and continually go before him, bring it before him, the different aspects of the dream. But, you know, he's released me this week to talk about it. Anyways, I had this dream that I was taken to the, it was more like a, what do you call it, a boardwalk, where, you know, this military ship was docked, and there were people on the ship, and they were evidently military personnel, maybe of the Marine Navy nature, but I didn't really make them out to be anybody that I knew, because it was, they were just bodies, you know, saw the backs of people, the sides of people, but really no distinction, so I really didn't know who they were. And when that happened, I believe that it was the angelic presence. The ship was green, and for some reason, the Lord had me concerned with the base of the ship. But in this particular dream, he didn't have us go inside the ship. He sent an expedition to get us dressed in scuba gear, and our assignment was we were going to dive into the water to find treasure. At first, I was wondering, do we need to fix a ship? I don't know how to fix ships. Something's going on. You know, they didn't really tell us everything. They just said we're on an expedition to find treasure, okay, and to repair some things. It was like a combination of finding treasure and repairing. And I thought that was a strange expedition. But anyways, and I thought, well, gee, you know, am I going to react or respond when I go deep into the water here? But I went into the water, and the water was very warm, and there was a lot of light under the water, like somebody turned the lights on. I'm thinking, where did this light come from? And, you know, various people were doing various things. But and then I was just waiting for what I needed to do with the instructions for what my part was. And next thing you know, my attention was brought to my watch. I had a watch on in the water, and I'm thinking, I hope this is waterproof. And I said, I can't believe that this watch is working. And there was a yellow cloth over the watch, but it was transparent. I could see right through it to the face of the watch. And the time, I was very concerned with the time. What time was it? Is this watch going to work when I get out of water? Then I realized I can breathe under this water. I'm like, this is no ordinary water. I'm like, okay, this is, I'm in a dream vision, and this is God's doing. So I even asked the Lord why I was in that water that wasn't wet and that was full of oxygen. You know, what's the significance of 6:05? That's what time it was. Well, you know, I was concerned, is it p.m. or a.m.? But I don't think that was actually, that was not something that he wanted me to focus on, but the thought came to my mind. And, so then as I was very overly concerned about the time, I woke up, okay, and I began to share the dream with my husband. And he said, well, what's the meaning of numbers? I said, well, 5 means grace, and, 7 means healing, but it wasn't 7, I wish it was. It was 6, you know, and 6 was the number for man. And I said, but there was a strange cloth over it. It was like a yellow cloth, you know, that was, you know, transparent. You could see right through to the face of the watch. And the significance of face means, you know, the face of man. 6, men, face, watch. I mean, face is the face of man. 6 o'clock is man. symbol for man. Five is grace. And the Lord is saying, all right, in this hour of human existence, he is going very, very deep, very, very, very deep into the heart of man to find treasure. All right, in this season of man's existence, he is going very, 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 very deep into the heart of man to find treasure, okay? This is a time of grace. We're still in the time of grace for people who are saying we're in the time of judgment. We are in the time of grace, all right? The Lord, in his Holy Spirit, is going very, very, very deep into the heart of man, all right, to also, you know, pull up roots and everything, but to actually now he's pulling up treasure. We already came out of that season where, you know, the junk just had to, like, you know, we had to let go of the junk in 2009. Now we're in 2010. And this is the time, this is the season where he is digging deep into the heart of man to pull up treasure, because we're still in a time of grace, all right? And the Lord is saying that the more that you are transparent in, with him, the greater will be the find. The more that you are transparent in him, the greater will be the find, all right? The greater will be the find. Like, you'll be more treasure as you are more transparent with him, as you trust in him more. So I just wanted to share that with you. And there was so much glory. There's so much glory in the deep. But it's something that you don't have to do. You just have to trust the Lord. You have to trust the Lord that he's acting on your behalf. He, you know, is joining forces with you through the Holy Spirit. And he's digging down deep to find the treasure that is in every one of you. And so, Lord, I just ask right now, I just thank you, Lord, for this revelation and what you are doing in the heart and in the mind of man as they become more transparent with you. Lord, make us transparent. Make us a transparent people, you know, that we don't have to fear what's in our hearts, because, you know, you're not all about fear. You're all about love. You're doing this because you love us, and we need to know who we are in you. So I thank you, Lord, as you restore man's identity, as you go deep down and pull up the treasure, we will begin to walk in a greater way. What our true nature and our true identity is in you in this very hour, so that men and women and children will shine before all, not to gain attention on their own, but to be ambassadors of your glory, carriers of your glory. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shikarama shikaravoso. She caramos fite, she la mason de amashande, oria mashanda condiama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you are about ready, what you are doing, and what you are going to continue to do in the heart of man, in the heart of my brothers and sisters, in the life of my brothers and sisters. For Lord, the world is waiting to see this. The process of the coming of and the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, as Haiti is being restored, that many will see this happening in the Haitian people and give glory to God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for this connection. There's a connection here, the Lord is saying. There's a divine connection between the transformation of Haiti and their restoration as a nation, as a country, as a people, in our transformation. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shukabashande. Shikaramosokia mashande. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Oh, praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. And what I ask for a special lesson, Lord, is as people purify their flesh, you know, surrender to you and receive the purification of their flesh, Lord, that Lord, that you would begin to make great visitations to them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in the restoration process. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, the Lord is saying he's going on a treasure hunt in his people. A treasure hunt. Oh, boy, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Holy Trinity. Father of hope, the Son, our refuge, and the Holy Spirit, our protector, be with your people. Increase within them your dreams and your vision. So that, Lord, they know they're not alone. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus' holy name. I just want to talk about miracles, the miracles of this devastation, you know, and I'm sure there's going to be many more. But it started to increase my faith in the, you know, in the middle of tragedy. We have, you know, many ministers and are talking about the perfect storm and, you know, why God is, you know, removing his hand of protection on some parts of the world and in some parts of this nation. And, you know, and Lord is saying this is not the hour to focus on this. This is the hour to storm heaven and to pray. And this is the hour of David. This is the time of just becoming a worshiper of him in spirit and truth, and to get into the very deep, you know, to go treasure hunting with him. Not a time for a condemnation or judgment, but to go treasure hunting, to find the best treasure in everyone, you know, as he reveals, all right? And because the Lord's not all about throwing people away. He's all about restoring people. He's not about throwing people away. He's about restoring people in the rubble of their lives. And if I've learned anything from the destruction of Haiti through the earthquake, okay, is that he's still in the business of restoring people and not throwing people away. He will go a great length, all right? All right, some people, for some reason, died and perished. But there were stories, such great stories of restoration and miracles. Like there's one particular baby, this baby who was, I think he or she was under a year old. My husband knows more about the story, but he began to share this with me, and I saw the baby actually on online on one of the YouTube videos. And this baby had been under the rubble, according to the mother, for 2 weeks, okay? And the baby did not have a thing to eat for 2 weeks and was completely intact, no scratches, was a little scared, that's understandable, and was a little dehydrated. And when the baby saw his mother, I believe it was a boy, he smiled and was beaming, and that brought him into life as he was, because he must have been slipping into death, but it wasn't, it was just the beginning of a dehydration, and they just gave the baby water, and the baby was fine, and the mother was fine. There was another situation where there were several people that were actually caught up in grocery stores. They had plenty to eat, but, you know, and they found them, and they were fine. And there was another lady, she was like an elderly lady, all right, she was in the church praying, the cathedral collapsed, and they saw, you know, the way that they found her, she was completely buried, all except for her face, her head, and she was so serene, and she was breathing, and they just pulled her out. I mean, these are miracles, of people that were under the rubble for, some were for a couple of weeks, one was a baby, and there were other people that were caught in the rubble too, and they were fine. They were just, one lady, she could have even had an out-of-body experience in that shock, and she came out saying people should not be afraid of death. You know, like there is an eternal life. She must have been in paradise and brought back just to tell people not to be afraid. So, God is all about restoration. He's not about throwing people away. He's about restoration, okay? And we have to continually pray that over people. There was another thing to another story where I think it was Petitionville, where they the kids, I heard this on WGBH, they were talking about how there's another sound coming out of Haiti after the aftermath, and it's a joyful sound, and you can hear these children in English and Creole, Haitian Creole, giving glory to God, you know, and stomping on the face of Satan and giving glory to God. Now, this is for people who, you know, continually criticize Haiti for the voodoo, but that's only a small segment of the population, all right? Majority of the population, they want God. They want the things of God, all right? They're hungry. They want more of God, and they're desperate for more of God. They can't rely on the government. They can't rely on even the rich people. They rely on God. So, I think we need to also, as a nation, we have to really adopt that posture for us to get anywhere spiritually that God is calling us to go. So, Haiti, is a wake-up call, all right, to what he's doing in the spirit, especially in the spirit. In the ministry of restoration, as it leads to further transformation of body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion. So I just want to just close. We have 24 minutes, but I think I've said enough. I think you get the point. It's just God is on the move. He's on the move for restoration, and he's on a treasure hunt, and he's coming after you. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God bless you. We love you. And I'm rooting for the saints because they are the underdogs, and I am God for the underdogs, and he doesn't throw people away. Why should we? So I hope the saints win, and so that there can be restoration of New Orleans, continued restoration of New Orleans. Okay, God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.